encouraging the faint-hearted and meeting fanaticism. Ellen tells of her call to the unique situation and the assurances of God's protecting care. I was shown that God had a work for me to do amid dangers and perils, but I must not shrink. I must go to the very places where fanaticism had done the most evil, and bear my messages of reproof to some of those who were influencing others, while I should give comfort and encouragement to those who were timid and conscientious, but deceived by those they thought were more righteous than they. I saw that we would be in danger of imprisonment and abuse. Although I should have no sympathy with the deceived, fanatical ones, no difference would be made, for anyone bearing the name of Adventist would have no consideration shown them. I was young and timid, and felt great sadness in regard to visiting the field where fanaticism had reigned. I pleaded with God to spare me from this, to send by some other one. The Spirit of the Lord again came upon me, and I was shown my faith would be tested, my courage and obedience tried. I must go. God would give me words to speak at the right time. And if I should wait upon Him, and have faith in His promises, I should escape both imprisonment and abuse, for He would restrain those who would do me harm. I waited no longer, but went trusting in God. I saw most of the brethren and sisters. As I warned them of their dangers, some were rejoiced that God had sent me. Others refused to listen to my testimony as soon as they learned that I was not in union with their spirit. They said I was going back to the world, that we must be so straight and so plain and so full of glory, as they called their shouting and hallooing, that the world would hate and persecute us. At Orrington, Jordan delivered the horse to James White. Ellen Harmon became acquainted with this youthful but most earnest Adventist minister, so firm in his confidence in the fulfillment of prophecy in the Adventist experience. In the summer of 1843, James White had visited Portland and labored for a time with Elder John Pearson. It must have been in connection with this visit that he learned of Ellen Harmon and her personality. In his biographical sketch he states, "I first met her in the city of Portland, in the state of Maine. She was then a Christian of the most devoted type. And although but 16, she was a laborer in the cause of Christ in public and from house to house."
1 LS, p. 126.
Ellen Harmon remembered first meeting James White at Orrington in connection with the trip just described. She began her work of encouraging the believers and meeting fanaticism, a work that was to continue through the next year or two. Reporting her experience of this period, she wrote, "The Spirit of God attended the message I bore, hearts were made glad in the truth, and the desponding ones were cheered and encouraged to renew their faith." In the early records we find the names of some who at some point were involved in fanaticism: Joseph Turner, Israel Dahman, a Mr. Bennett, John Andrews, William Hyde. Writing later of her dual work of encouraging the faint-hearted and in meeting with those involved in the fanaticisms that broke out in Maine and New Hampshire, she explained, "The disappointment in 1844 had confused the minds of many, and they would not listen to any explanation of the matter. They were impatient and unbelieving, and many seemed rebellious, coming out in a most decided manner against their past Advent experience. Others dared not go to this length, and deny the way the Lord had led them. These were glad to hear arguments from the Word of God which would harmonize our position with prophetic history. As they listened to an explanation of the disappointment which had been so bitter to them, they saw that God had, indeed, led them, and they rejoiced in the truth. This awakened the most bitter opposition on the part of those who denied our past experience. But we had a still worse element to meet in a class who claimed that they were sanctified, that they could not sin, that they were sealed and holy, and that all their impressions and notions were the mind of God. Conscientious souls were deceived by the pretended piety of these fanatics." As to the fruits of her labor, she declared, "The Lord used us as instruments to rebuke these fanatics, and to open the eyes of His faithful people to the true character of their work. Peace and joy came into the hearts of those who broke away from this deception of Satan, and they glorified God as they saw His unerring wisdom in setting before them the light of truth and its precious fruits in contrast with satanic heresies and delusions. The truth shone in contrast with these deceptions like clear gold amid the rubbish of earth. Some were sorely repentant and, Ellen White explained at the General Conference in 1901, were afterward among our most reliable men and women. But there were others who ever after walked in sadness. We could not at any time make them feel that they were worthy to work for the Master. The reader should guard against reaching the conclusion that the group of believers as a whole were involved in fanaticism. Some who were involved have been named, but there were stalwart souls who never wavered: Otis Nichols, the Howland and Hastings families, Joseph Bates, and others. As Ellen White explained in her article in Many of the Pioneers, who shared with us these trials and victories, remained true to the close of life. Nevertheless, as she explained in her letter to Elder Loughborough in 1874, a fearful stain was brought upon the cause of God which would cleave to the name Adventist like leprosy. Satan triumphed, for this reproach would cause many precious souls to fear to have any connection with Adventists. All that had been done wrong would be exaggerated, and would lose nothing by passing from one to the other. The cause of God was bleeding. Jesus was crucified afresh and put to open shame by His professed followers. Not alone as a matter of history is the fanaticism met in early years recounted here. Because on several occasions Ellen White was shown in vision that the history of the past would be repeated and God's people would be called upon to meet elements of fanaticism before the end of time, we delineate in considerable detail the involvements of that first critical year in the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.